prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise. Prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, there are many blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Indeed, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said that on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade, three people will be in the shade of the arsh of Allah azza wa jal. The first, the one who relieves the distress of my ummati, helps him in his hour of need. The second, the one who revives my sunnah. And the third, the one who recites salat upon me in abundance in this world. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Allah Azza wa Jal has gifted us with this beautiful voice, with the power of speech, with the tongue, and giving you the gift and the intellect of communication. No doubt, it is an amazing gift and a great skill that has been granted to us by Allah Azza wa Jal. And surely, it is a test. For if we use it correctly, then we will be rewarded for it. But if we misuse it, then this same skill, the same intellect and the same ability could be the bane of our life and could lead to humiliation in the hereafter. Now the tongue is a very powerful tool. And by Allah, misuse of it due to backbiting and gossiping and tale-telling can have disastrous consequences, can devastate your life, your grave, and put you in great difficulty on the day of accountability. And today, we live in a society where we don't question how we use this skill. And on the day of judgment, hordes of people will be sent to the fire of hell because of misuse of this tongue and this ability to speak. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, building up your book of deeds, building up your Nama Amal, you know, your virtues, isn't an easy task. And yet we strive to try and do things that please Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the hope that these pious actions will bring us blessings in this worldly life, will bring us relief and from torment in the grave, and will give us dignity on the day of judgment. But having spent our time and our effort and our energy in trying to build up these good deeds, it is shameful and shocking how easily we give these away. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Sayyidina Fudail bin Ayyad rahmatullah alayhi says The example of a person who backbites is like a person who uses cannon to fire away his deeds towards the east and the west. Allahu Akbar. So having worked hard, having prayed your salah, having recited the Quran, having done the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, having taken the opportunity to do good deeds, then we sit down with our friends and we start to gossip and we backbite. And we start to throw these deeds away. If it was money and we were throwing notes away, we'd have sleepless nights. But our ignorance is such that having lost thousands of virtues, we don't flinch an eyelid. If we lose a 10-pound note, we would probably think about it for 3 days. But losing 10 good deeds even doesn't cause us concern at the moment because we don't realize its true value. But my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, when we do realize its true value, we will learn why the great scholars stayed away from this. The great Sayyidina Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that since I have gained my senses and learnt that backbiting is haram, I have never backbitten anybody. Allahu Akbar. And then the great Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, securing the tongue secures the deeds. Because whoever does not control his tongue usually ends up getting trapped and falling into the pit of backbiting. And he goes on to quote a very famous Arabic proverb. Whoever talks more tends to make more mistakes. Today, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, when we sat together and there's a silence, we feel uncomfortable because of it. And the shaitan whispers in our ear and we start talking about somebody. And we've broken that silence by throwing our deeds away if we turn to backbiting and tale-telling. Allahu Akbar. Once a person told Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayh, I've been informed that you have backbitten against me. He rahmatullahi alayh replied, I cannot gift you my deeds. I do not consider you that important. Allahu Akbar. Those great scholars of Islam knew that backbiting isn't just something which you can do to satisfy your nafs and make you feel temporarily relieved because you've vented your anger against somebody or your jealousy against somebody. They realized that this was a trade. This was a transaction. And if you used this tongue to backbite somebody, you were taking your book of deeds and throwing away your good deeds. And so they were very, very careful when they spoke. They knew that doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal was the best way of using this tongue. And so they protected it from backbiting. But not only did they protect it from backbiting, but they engaged it in the constant zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the two famous hadithi mubarakah, no doubt, they kept in mind. From Mustadrak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember Allah Azza wa Jal with such abundance that people consider you insane. Allahu Akbar. So all the time, while people are going about their other businesses, the one who is in love with Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their tongue are moist with the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Their life evolves around keeping their tongue moving, not for backbiting, not for lying, not for tale-telling, but to please their Creator and remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. And then, another beautiful hadith-e-mubarakah
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember Allah Azza wa Jal in such abundance that the hypocrites start calling you a show-off. Allahu Akbar. Today, my dear Islamic brothers, we are reluctant to recite zikr constantly through fear that others might think we're showing off. Today, we don't take the beads, the tasbih in our hands, and the counters in our hands, thinking other people might think we're showing off. But we wish that we had the same consciousness about what others would think when we were backbiting. So that we would refrain from backbiting, because we would think that others may think bad of me. But that thought doesn't come in at that time, because the shaitan has taken over us. He only brings this thought into our minds when we're doing good things. So he says things like, don't keep the tasbih in your hand and start reading. Others might think you're a show-off. Don't keep saying the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in front of others, because they might think you're showing off. No, but he doesn't bring the same thought when you are committing ghibat and backbiting and tale-telling. No, then you're enjoying it. Allahu Akbar. And let's remember this also, that this is a deception of the shaitan. Because if you have picked up the beads, the tasbih, the counter, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and your mind is clean, it doesn't matter what others think. Riya, this show-off, is what is in your mind. If you are doing it purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, let others think whatever they want. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, it is time we think about this great, great asset we have. We have this amazing skill. Using it wisely, using it properly, harnessing its power, we can become close to Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But misusing it, abusing it, we will distance ourselves from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever recites Surah Ikhlas 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jal builds a palace for him in Jannah, in Paradise. Whoever recites it 20 times, Allah Azza wa Jal will build 2 palaces for him. And whoever recites it 30 times, Allah Azza wa Jal builds 3 palaces for him." Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Would we have several palaces at the same time?" And the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah's favor is even greater than that." Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught us that by using this tongue to praise Allah Azza wa Jal, to recite Durood-e Pak upon His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not only bringing blessings and mercy into your worldly life, but you are building palaces for yourself in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And yet, we have the opportunity to constantly build this treasure for the hereafter. And how ignorant and foolish are those who, instead of using this tongue to build their treasures in Jannah, to decorate their grave, and to bring blessings and mercy to their worldly life, foolishly choose darkness and horror and devastation by using this tongue for backbiting. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, in Fatawa Rizwe Sharif, volume 1 says, "Lying and backbiting are inner impurities. There is a foul odor that is produced from them. And the one who constantly engages in these activities, his mouth smells." Allahu Akbar. "Angels that protect him distance themselves from him. Likewise, it is highlighted in a hadith in Mubarakah
that the most dignified Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the mouth odor of those who backbite against Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Now the scholars write that sometimes we don't feel this odor. We don't feel this smell. And the reason for that is this. That because of our constant habit of backbiting, we have got used to this smell. Allahu Akbar. So the smell is there, but we just don't notice it anymore. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala has reported that we were in the blessed court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when this foul smell, this odor came from somewhere. And we could all smell it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do you know what this odor is? Do you know what this smell is? This is the stench of those who backbite against Muslims." Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, not only does backbiting destroy your peace and tranquility and destroy your mind, but it also produces a smell with inside you which is disgusting, which puts off the angels and the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal. This disgusting smell takes over your life. And if you constantly backbite, you don't feel the smell of it. But the pious ones around you will do. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, the one who protects his tongue protects himself from these foul smells. The one who avoids backbiting, he is in blissful gardens of fragrance. Allahu Akbar. The one who avoids lying and cheating and slandering and tale-telling, his mouth smells beautiful. The angels love his company. Allahu Akbar. His grave will be nurun ala nur, light after light. And on the day of judgment, he will be with those who are forgiven. Subhanallah. It is absolutely crucial, therefore, that we learn how to use this tongue properly. Today, the difficulty is that not only do we not recognize the diseases of the heart which cause backbiting, but today, we actively attend gatherings where we know that the only thing that is going to be happening there is backbiting. And the level to which we have stooped, to which we have fallen, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, is this. That when we sit at somebody's house for Fatiha after somebody has passed away, within a short time, off we go with backbiting. And we haven't taken a lesson from the very fact that we have just given ghusl, bathed, given kafan to, and buried our Islamic brother. And now we are sat here under the pretense of doing a salih sawab for him. But what are we doing? We are now backbiting others. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Sayyidina Ahmad bin Hajar Makki Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said that backbiting is worse than usury, interest. Allahu Akbar. If backbiting was to be submerged into the ocean, the whole ocean would smell foul. On the night of ascension, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw that backbiters were eating the corpses in the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. The environment of those who backbite is smelly and disgusting. And the great Shaykh also writes that backbiters will be punished in their graves. Allahu Akbar. And these lessons he takes from a few hadith in Mubarakah that classify backbiting as a major sin. And there is warning after warning in the glorious Quran and in the amazing teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam about this heinous crime. And yet the shaitan still tells us, and unfortunately we still listen to what he has to say, and we still belittle this grave sin of backbiting. And not only do we belittle it when it comes to those who are subordinate to us, today nobody is secure from our backbiting. Whether it's brothers and sisters, whether it's children, even our parents we talk about behind their back. Allahu Akbar. And this society has gone to such an extent that today, those who are described as the very foundations of our society, who were to teach us everything that we are to know about our religion, who are to teach us everything of how to live life in accordance with the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal, who were there to teach us the Quran, who were there to teach us the beautiful sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Those great scholars, today, we don't flinch an eyelid before we start to speak about them. Allahu Akbar. Today, as soon as a suspicion comes into our mind about our brother, our sister, our parents, our father, our mother, or our imam, our learned scholars, we don't think whether it might be true. We don't think whether it might be false. We don't think how it will affect their dignity. We don't think anything. In fact, what we do is off we go and start to backbite. Allahu Akbar. And this infection, this suspicion, was a seed planted by the shaitan. And we as Muslims were taught through the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, beautiful hadith of Mubarakah in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Rakka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, have good opinion about others as this is superior worship. Yet, what do we do? What have we done? We have set the base for backbiting by forming bad opinions about others. And once that bad opinion has been formed, then the shaitan just needs to give us that little nudge. And off we go. We had already built a base based upon suspicion, based upon our imagination about how bad somebody is. And the little nudge from the shaitan, and off we go down the road of backbiting. Did we not know that the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, said that suspicion is the biggest lie? Allahu Akbar. Hadith Mubarakah. No. Off we went. Because I suspect, therefore he must be like that. And therefore I am justified in announcing his bad. So not only have we based it on a suspicion, but then the shaitan has led us down a path where now I think he may have a fault, and off I go to try and tell others. Allahu Akbar. A renowned commentator of the Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yarhan alayhi rahmatur rahman, has said, this means that to hold a good opinion about other Muslims and to avoid ill suspicion against them is amongst the highest qualities of the acts of worship. So what we were taught by the teachings of the hadith of Mubarakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always think good about others. Always have good opinions about others. Even if you hear something, do not relay it because you don't have proof for it. Don't accept it. Think of your Muslim brother as being good. And even if you have proof that that fault is in him, do not mention it. What has given you the Sharia ijazat, the permission in Islamic law to go and do that? Nothing. Nothing has given you the permission to go and announce his faults. Therefore, why are you backbiting him? Keep a good opinion of him. Keep your heart clean. And keep on steadfast on the path of pleasing Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But regretfully, shamefully, disgustingly, strong words, today nobody is secure from our backbiting. And even the Islamic scholars, the scholars which turn up at our bedside when we're children and call the azan in our ears, the scholars who do the bayans at our akikas, the scholars who deal with all our matters when we're children, who teaches the Quran, who teaches the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who teaches the respect for our parents, who do our nikahs, who pray our funeral salahs. We need him in every fold of life. They are the ones who help us understand the world that Allah azza wa jalla has created. They are the ones who help us understand the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the essence of society. These were the pillars of society. These were the foundations upon which society was built. These were the people who were the guiding lights. These were the people that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam described as the inheritors of the deen from the prophets and the prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. These were the people who deserved the maximum respect. These were the people who deserved our best opinions. These were the people who were worthy of our best thoughts, not of our suspicions. And yet today, these are unfortunately the people who are backbitten in our society. These are the people who are ridiculed and mocked. Allahu Akbar, na'udhu billah. These are the people who today we do not have any respect for. Whoever backbites a scholar, severs his ties with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This backbiting was such a horrific crime. Even when it was done against a normal Muslim brother, a normal Muslim sister. But when done against the scholars of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allahu Akbar, it is even worse. Once the most blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned his companion Sayyidina Muaz radiallahu ta'ala, refrain from backbiting of people, or else the dogs of hell will bite you. Allahu Akbar. And today, we're going much beyond that. We're not only backbiting the people, but we are backbiting the very scholars who have taught us how to live our life in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. Now, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, this is a great problem in our society. It is a major, huge issue, and one we don't realize the seriousness of. What happens is that when we are in our gatherings, we belittle the ulama ikram, the scholars of deen. We belittle the teachers of the Quran and the teachers of hadith. We backbite them. We slander them. We say nasty things about them. And when our children listen to this, they also develop a lowly opinion of them. And what this is it's the waswasa of the shaitan. Why? From where were we going to get the knowledge to bring us close to Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the scholars? Where were we going to get the knowledge to give us the means, give us the ability to differentiate between halal and haram? It was from the scholars. Where were we going to get the ability to learn the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was from the scholars. Where were we going to learn how to live our life in accordance with the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was from the scholars. Where were we going to learn how to light up our grave? It was from these great scholars. Where were we going to learn how to prepare for the day of accountability? It was from these scholars. So what the shaitan has done is the very source which was your savior. He has instilled in your heart suspicion and bad opinions about the scholars, and then made you backbite against them, not only destroying you by putting bad thoughts into your mind, but also completely destroying your book of deeds by making you backbite against the scholars. Allahu Akbar. These very people who were close to Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were given the task of bringing you out of darkness and into light. And what have you done? You have taken that very person who was responsible for helping you out of the pit of darkness and sins, and giving you a hand and bringing you out and putting you on the road to Jannah, and you have now indulged in backbiting against him. Oh, he takes money for everything he does. Oh, he's not a good imam. He's not a good scholar. He can't remember this. You know, he forgot the ayah the other day. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Oh, this mulvi, he just eats. He comes and he loves his sweets. Allahu Akbar. You know, I saw him once. He was drinking water with his left hand. He thinks he's a big scholar, but I don't think he is. Allahu Akbar. And when he starts, he gets on the microphone. Oof, nothing can stop him. He just carries on and on and on. He thinks he's great. Oof, I don't want to be friends with this Maulvi. Now, those are all statements, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, that we might have heard. Nauzubillah ibn Zalik, we might have said, we need to do tawbah straight away. Because Amiri al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah quotes Fatawa Rizviya Sharif, and he says that if a person speaks ill about a religious scholar because he is a scholar, then the person is an absolute kafir. Allahu Akbar. Speaking ill of a scholar of deen leads to kufr. And then the second part of this that Imam Ahl Sunnat writes in Fatawa Rizviya Sharif is this: if the person considers it an obligation to respect the scholar because of their religious knowledge, but speaks ill of them because of some worldly feud or curses them, he is a fasik and a fajir. And then thirdly, if he backbites a scholar without any reason, other than that there is a disease in his heart, then there is a great fear that he will not die in the state of iman. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, backbiting the Ulama Ikram is one of the gravest sins. Backbiting in itself is heinous. But Allahu Akbar, backbiting against the learned scholars of deen, you are destroying your iman. Not only are you destroying your book of deeds, but there is a chance, Allah Hazrat writes, that you may not die in the state of iman. Allahu Akbar. And today, we are ignorant of this. Don't forget, today we make excuses. Oh, he's not a practicing imam. He doesn't practice what he preaches. Listen to this very carefully. Part 22, Surah Fatir, verse 32. Translation from Kanzul Iman. We then made our chosen bondsmen the inheritors of the book. So amongst them is the one who wrongs himself. And amongst them is the one who stays on the middle course. And amongst them is the one who by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal surpassed others in good deeds. This is the great favor. Now commenting on this ayah mubarakah in Fatawa Rizviya Sharif, our Master Ala Hazrat Imam Ali Sunnat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman says this, that here the chosen bondsman not only refers to the practicing scholars, but also the non-practicing scholars. It has been relayed in a hadith that while elaborating on this verse, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, whoever amongst us takes a lead has taken a lead, and whoever walks with slow speed in the path of goodness, he is saved. And the one who is unjust with himself, i.e. a sinner, he will also be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. If the scholars are righteous, then they are like the moon in the sky. It stays cool itself, but imparts light to others. But if the scholars are non-practicing, it is written in light of the hadith-i-mubarakah that the non-practicing scholar is like a candle which gives light to others, but does not benefit itself. It's like a wick that burns itself out. So for others, they can still gain the blessings from this scholar. But the thing to remember is this. Never, no matter what happens under any circumstances, say anything that can be remotely associated with backbiting or lying or slandering an Islamic scholar. Indeed, what we should do is we should portray a beautiful image of our scholars to our children. And if we catch our children saying something bad about their teachers or their imams, we should stop them straight away. And we should remind them that these are the very people we need from the moment we're born till when we die and thereafter. And on the day of judgment, these very scholars we will look for to help us. And therefore today, we should give them the maximum respect. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, ghibat, backbiting, is a grave sin. And to take that to a next level where it completely destroys you in this world, in the grave and in the hereafter, the shaitan incites us to commit this heinous crime against our learned scholars. Protect your tongues. Don't throw away your deeds. Help yourself in this world, in your grave, and in the hereafter, by protecting this tongue from backbiting and using it in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal and sending salutations upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahin Nabil Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise. Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise.